We're going to be looking at a very sweet story of Lazarus and his two sisters, Mary and Martha. We've met them previously. You may remember that in that incident, Martha didn't come off too good. Martha was the first one to invite Jesus into her house. Now, I submit to you that if your usual lodging is a garden, he said of himself, the foxes have holes, the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Contrast that with the TV evangelists, many of whom own multiple homes. Stop giving to those. Okay. They're leeching funds out of the church. Meanwhile, we have missionaries that practically have to beg for money from the church of the living God. This shouldn't be. Just because somebody makes you feel good doesn't mean they're giving you the truth of the Word of God. I feel good about the Word of God because of Jesus. That's why I feel good about it. I'm just as sinful as anyone else. I have nothing going for me except a man named Jesus. And when you have Jesus, you got everything. You really do. But we want to open up that package and see what else we have. When I was a kid, we used to go to the herring run and we would scoop up herring, big scoops of herring, throw them up on the bank, go after another one, and meanwhile the others were tumbling back into the river. They were lost, okay? I'm not saying that you can lose your salvation, but a lot of people simply don't develop. They simply don't develop. And the reason they don't is they get alienated from the Word of God somehow. Sometimes they do something really stupid, okay? And then they, oh, that's it, I guess I'm not really a Christian. You got to keep coming back to that Word of God. So here's what happened with Mary and Martha. You know, Martha invited Jesus in. And Martha was, she's one of those people, she's a detailed person. She wants the house nice and clean, and she wants to have a really good meal for Jesus. So she's out there working, slaving in the kitchen. Mary, in the meantime, is sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Martha, the first prayer she asks that is recorded at least is, speak to my sister. Can't you see I'm doing all the work? Okay. So she learned from that because Jesus, when we make a mistake, he's like he was with Martha. He was very kind to her. Martha, Martha. Mary has chosen that good part and it will not be taken away. And what was a good part? Hearing the Word of God, actually hearing it, and having it stitched in her heart because there was an emotional response as she heard the Word of God. That's the way to hear the Word of God. Okay, so fast forward now, and I'm going to read this is from John chapter 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany. There's only two Lazarus in the Bible. This is not the other guy. At the town of Mary and her sister Martha. When it says town, it means a little small village. And, you know, I got to say, this relates to me personally because we grew up in a small village. And my mother became the Mary and the Martha in our family. That's my granddaughter over there. That's my daughter. That's my son-in-law. The reason they're here, at least my daughter and son-in-law, Peter had his own Christian family. But the reason they're here is because of my mother. She prayed for me after she received Christ as her Savior. And I believe that she was reading the Word of God. She made God a promise. She's going to read the Bible all the way through. King James, all the way through. Got over into the Gospel of John, reading the Bible by herself in her kitchen, suddenly realized Jesus is a Jehovah of the Old Testament. And she said, and I know it's different for different people. I got that. But she said the whole kitchen lit up. And she gave everything to Jesus, her family, whom she loved, her own life. And that anointing came right down through our family and has blessed us. I thank God for my mother, but she's a lot like Mary. She sat at the feet of Jesus, okay? Now, there's a lot of Marys in the Bible. There's at least seven Marys are mentioned. So, John tells us, this is the Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair. Now, in the narrative, it hasn't happened yet, but the Gospel of John was one of the last New Testament books to be written. And so he's saying, you know her, this is that Mary, okay? Now, she's not the prostitute who came in and kissed Jesus' feet and wet them with her own tears and wiped them with her hair. But I have to believe, I kind of think that that story was known too, and that Mary said, you know, that's a good thing. See, a woman's hair in the Bible is her crown of glory from God. And she's taken everything she has. First of all, she's this precious ointment. Some people think that that was saved for her wedding day. She would, apparently was a single woman. She said, you know what, I'm giving everything to Jesus. And I'm pouring it all out because I know he's going to die and I'm anointing his body. And Jesus said, wherever this gospel is preached, I'm doing it right now. Just what he said, this is prophecy fulfilled. Wherever the gospel is preached, you're going to hear about this story. What does God want from you? He wants your heart devotion. And you know, with that comes your weakness. And he keeps on teaching. He keeps on healing. He keeps on lifting up. Okay. So this was that Mary. So Lazarus is sick. That's her brother. Apparently the house belonged to Martha. She might have been a wealthy widow. Her sister, unmarried Mary, lived with her, and her brother, unmarried. They figure he was about 30 years old here when he got sick like this. And so what do you do when you get in a jam? Who do you call? It ain't Ghostbusters. Okay? You call Jesus. Now, here's the deal. The title of this thing is The Discipline of Disappointment. Some people have extraordinary expectations of Jesus Christ. And none of them are more extraordinary than what he's actually going to do. But in working this out in his time schedule, this is where we often get disappointed. A lot of times people are told, well, if you have faith, you'll be healed, or this will happen, or that will happen. All these blessings, I decree over your life. You don't have any authority to do that. That's Jesus, okay? That's what he does. And what he decrees for us is good enough, amen? Amen. And do we have lessons to learn? And might it be painful to learn a few of these lessons? Oh, yeah. But it's better to have those lessons. Whom the Lord loves, he corrects. That's a mark that you belong to him, because he corrects you. You can't get away with what you used to get away with, because your own heart is affected, and you want to go on with Jesus. Okay, so what do? They send for Jesus. Therefore, the sister sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. No pressure there. You love this one. Now he's sick. We need you to come. Jesus is like one day's journey away. He's probably 20 miles away. And it's very interesting what he says. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. In other words, God has his plan. They don't know this plan. They think as soon as Jesus arrives, gotta touch him, he's gonna be healed and everything will be back to normal. Normal is not necessarily good, okay? Progressing is good. Learning more is good, okay? So this is what Jesus has in mind. So now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Can I say something to you? If you are a believer, you are loved with the same love that God has for Jesus. Right now. Right now. We all see that John says of himself, that disciple whom Jesus loved. I think that's in there, not because John thought he was loved more than the others, but he had grown in the understanding of that. You see that? In the experience of it. So he knew now how much, more and more, how much he was loved. See, you're in Christ. God loves Christ. Guess what? You're the beneficiary of that. Just as he died for you, he's alive for you, and that love that God has for Jesus is for you. Don't get blinded from that. Don't get blinded. This is our go-to text. This is our go-to text in Romans 8, 28. All things work to the good of them that love the Lord. Okay? Now, one of the things you want to realize about that particular text is, I used to just make it personal. Well, you know, everything's working out good for me. No, the idea is for the whole body of Christ. The things that went on here have blessed the church, have been used in evangelism. So it wasn't just about Mary and Martha and Lazarus. God's saying, Jesus said, this is for the glory of God. The glory of God doesn't quit. It keeps on getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And this resurrection that we see of Lazarus is what's going to happen in the rapture, where thousands of people are going to be resurrected. And not only that, those who remain and alive are going to be caught up together with him right there. Paul says, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That was a word that Jesus used about Lazarus. He's sleeping. Oh, that's good. He'll get cured. No, not that kind of sleep. This is a dirt nap, okay? And he's going to raise him from that. So we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In other words, remaining believers on the earth are going to be changed instantly by seeing Jesus Christ. When we see him, we will be like him. In other words, we're going to be completed. That resurrection body, whatever's lacking in our spiritual apprehension will be there, and we will be like Jesus. Not God, we're going to be good like Jesus. That's what I mean. Okay, so we have here, no matter how it's working out, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. What's up with that? You love him. You have the power to heal him. Okay? Well, this is what we have to do. See it this way. It was an urgent call to Jesus. That's the first thing that we should do. Amen? Often we do everything but, and then we're up against it. Why are we up against it so often? Because God brought us there. So we would see this is the answer. Call on him. I'm going to call one more time, said Jonah. I know I'm done. I'm at the bottom of the ocean, but I'm going to look one more time toward Jerusalem. See, that's using your brain when your heart has quit on you, because you're believing the truth. And what happened? He was delivered. Jonah was delivered. And what did he say? The Lord our righteousness. This is our claim to fame, folks. The Lord our righteousness. This has weight. And when we're praying that we have the name of Jesus, we have his righteousness, we're in him. And so God answers our prayers. So there was a discouraging delay. It probably took the messenger one day to get where Jesus was. And he tells them, and you got to think that the messenger is like, okay, why isn't he getting ready? And he's just staying there 2 more days. What's wrong with you, God? You know, we would never say that, right? But sometimes you say it. God, I expected that you were going to do this. When Naaman the leper came before Elijah, he said, he's going to come out. Here I am with my entourage and my money and all my men. And he's going to come out and he's going to put his hand on the bad place. I got leprosy. And then I'm going to be healed. He had it all figured out. Elijah sends a servant out. Go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. What? That's not the way I had it planned. You got a little scheme in your own brain, too, of what God's going to do with you. Somebody has said, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans, okay? He's got a plan, a general plan for every believer that one day we're going to be like Jesus. Woo! That's good. I'm sick and tired of sin. I'm sick and tired of being tempted. I'm sick and tired of failing. There's coming a day when we're not going to be tested anymore, because Jesus was tested on Calvary, and was shown to be 24 karat gold in the eyes of God. He went through that awful time for you and for me. Let's not blow it. Let's walk in that truth, because it's the truth of God. So urgent call, discouraging delay, and then the explanation was, God's got this. He's got a plan. Okay, they don't see it, but it's going to work out. So then the second point in the sermon, that's the discipline of disappointment. Every believer goes through that. Little children. Daddy, we're going to the circus today? No, you're going to school. You see, there's a learning thing here. And, you know, our expectations are not what God's expectations are or what he's doing. All right? So learning to compare what is with what will be. Okay? First and foremost, when they got there, Jesus spoke about Lazarus sleeping, and they didn't understand. Listen, most of the Bible after salvation is clarification. You got that? God wants you to know these things. And it's my belief as a stupid layman, I'm not a stupid layman really, There's no such thing as layman in the Bible. You know that? Everyone, a child of God, has the capability of understanding the Word of God. But you have to have teachers. We have them in the apostles. And the Holy Spirit has also raised up preachers and teachers that edify the church so they know what they have so they can do the things. Mark is here. He's going to teach how you witness to somebody, how you bring somebody to Christ, okay? And so there's that edification that goes on, but a lot of it is clarification. Some people have given up on Jesus. There are people that were told, well, you know, all you got to do is pray and you'll be healed. And by the way, God's going to make you rich. And they find out it doesn't really work out. And they're disappointed. That's why it says in Colossians, don't give up your hope. But your hope needs to be on Jesus, not on what you can do or what somebody else promised. Make sure it's the Word of God. Where you are right now in your journey, answer honestly. You don't have to say anything, but you can raise your hand. Are things working out different than you thought they would when you first became a Christian? This hand's going up. Am I all alone here? Did you get some surprises along the way? Somebody that you thought was a cat's whiskers turned out to be not so much. Okay? Or whatever. Okay? So, learning to compare what is with what will be. Jesus tells the disciples very openly and frankly, Lazarus is dead. He's dead. Okay? And then when he comes and he meets up with Martha. Now, this is really interesting. As you look at the story of Mary and Martha, you would think that Mary's got the closest spiritual connection with Jesus because of what happened before. She's the one who was sitting at his feet and listening to his word. I submit to you, if you've had intimacy with Jesus, you have more opportunity or more risk, I would say, of having your feelings hurt because you don't know the word of God. You don't know what he's doing. You don't, you know, this intimacy is so precious. That's why the church is called the bride of Christ. That moves beyond discipleship. It says intimacy or the possibility thereof because Christ is our risen Savior. And Paul says in Romans 6, you rose with him so that you could be married to another and bring forth fruit. That's what it is about witnessing and bringing people. But it's also the producing of Christ-like characteristics in you through the power of the Holy Spirit. God's got great plans. And we need to get in on them and see what he's actually saying. And he is the motivating force here. Okay? Think that little village. You know, here's the guys in Jerusalem. They're just full of religion. And, you know, they're full of hatred for Jesus. And he comes into a little village and comes into Martha's home. Is Jesus in your home?
Yes.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Well, you want to keep pursuing him, okay? Don't put him in the guest room and say, that's Jesus. I'll bring him out and have a cup of coffee with him. I don't know. That's going a little too far, I guess. But you see, there's this possibility of intimacy where you can understand better and you can appreciate more what he did for you, not that, but what he's doing for you through the power of the Spirit. So he makes it clear to Martha. Martha's the first one that goes out when she hears that Jesus is there, but Mary stays in the house. I think Mary's got some hurt feelings. That's what I really think. Could be. I'm not saying it's written in stone, but she's supposed to have the intimacy, but she's grieved perhaps that he didn't show up when they needed him. And see, there are people who kind of hold a grudge against God. It didn't come out the way I thought you were going to do it, Lord. Okay? But Martha goes out. And here's where Martha shines. Before, it was Mary who was kind of the star here because she's listening at the feet of Jesus. Okay? But now it's Martha. See, different personalities here. Martha's always going to be the practical one. She's the one that says, come on into my house, Jesus. And then she gets reproved. Will you take Jesus' reproval as much as his approval? That's when you're starting to get somewhere, okay? Because he loves you and he wants to shape you and mold you and use you the way he wants to use you, okay? All in love. Okay, so they have no idea here how God's going to use this incident to bless the world as they look at the scriptures. And so Martha comes out, and the first thing she says to him is what? If you were here, my brother would not have died. Now, Jesus is known for raising people from the dead. One time there was a little ceremony, and there's a grieving mother walking beside her son who is being carried to the graveyard. Hold it. Time out for Jesus. He raises that son and he gives it back to the mother. That's the kind of God we have. Yes, he's done these great eternal things for us, but he also cares about us right now. David said, if I had not expected to see the goodness of God in the land of the living, like right now, I would have fainted. Fainted is giving up, spiritually speaking. It's not dying. You can't die. You're alive forever. But you can faint. I've fainted. But God comes along and revives. He revives with the water of the word. Okay, so Jesus makes it clear to Martha that Lazarus is going to rise again. And she says, I know, you know, general resurrection. He says, no, you don't get it. I am the resurrection and life. This is the fifth time in the Gospel of John that Jesus says, I am. Remember Moses? Who shall I say sent me, God? I am. In other words, I am present all the time in all of my attributes. I am. And Jesus Christ is I am. He is God in the flesh. He is capable of doing everything. He's going to do the will of God that's best for the people and to the glory of God. First of all, to the glory of God. So, he says, Lazarus already alive. Lazarus already alive. And then he also says he will rise again physically. See, first of all, when you're born again, that's when you are spiritually come to life. Okay? And John 5:24 says, I tell you the truth. He that believes on me has life and will not come into condemnation, but has passed from death, that separation from God, into life. See, a lot of people, you know, grab that verse. That is a clarifying verse. You already have eternal life. You have Jesus. Jesus is life. Okay? So you're in Jesus, and you have life. He is a resurrection of life, so you can have intimate fellowship with him, but you know what? You gotta follow after him closely. You gotta stay at his feet, if you will. You gotta follow him where he goes, and he opens this word to us. Say, oh, Dennis, you don't know about me. You don't know how weak I am. God loves weak people! We got too many strong people. Do it my way. Be all in. Yes, I am a man. Yeah, I'm a man. Yeah. And the rest of you may deny Jesus Christ, but not this boy. I'm going with you to the death, Jesus. And then reality hit. Peter learned a lesson that day. Peter was weeping. I think he was weeping at his own funeral of self. He thought he could follow Jesus in his own strength. No. If you did that, you're setting a bad example. It's got to be Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit following him that way. You see that? And by the way, this is the best way. The best way is when you're full of the Spirit and you feel like you're a hose being directed, you know, as God would have you be directed for the people of God and for the glory of God. We should aim for this. I want to be full of the Holy Spirit. You're not going to be full of the Holy Spirit unless you're full of the Word of God. That's how God fills people up. There is an action where God does that. I understand that. But you know what? If you're full of the Holy Spirit and you only know John 3:16, you're not going to be too effective, folks. You've got one arrow in your quiver. Now, that's a powerful arrow. And you can do a lot with that. But you know what? If you have more, you're going to be able to talk to people in the situation that they're in, okay? So they learned that delay is not denial. What did they want? They wanted Lazarus well. See, God is going beyond physical health. He's going beyond to a brand new creature with a resurrected body. Okay? And you know the story. They go there, and, it says that Jesus groaned in his spirit when he saw the weeping, and he saw, the pain that people are going through. Now, it says that he was stirred deeply, and he wept over Lazarus. And people ponder about that, and that, those are the kind of things you should ponder. But at least one idea is that he not only was weeping, he was angered. He's not angered at the people, he's angered at Satan, that people are suffering like this. People are dying. People are being torn apart. Families are being torn apart. Jesus is angry about that. And he weeps for his friend Lazarus. See, Jesus, as much as he is God, he is also completely human. But this is sinless humanity. It's not about me first. It's about others. That's him. I want to be like that, don't you? You know what? If we get on our knees in this church and we just get the gospel out there and we don't care, well, we care, but our first priority is not to get people to come to this church. Our first priority is get people saved. And the second priority is to instruct people in the Word of God so that they can enjoy Jesus Christ and be useful to the kingdom of heaven. If you don't know the Bible, you need to learn the Bible. You need to learn the Bible to be useful. So, the last part of this sermon is learning to stay hungry for Jesus' teaching. Sometimes I've talked to a lot of Christians. I've talked to them at fairs. I've talked to them at other meetings and so forth. It's kind of like, so are you a believer? Yeah, all set. All set. Yeah, all set. Don't need to preach to me. Need to preach to other people. Really? Really? No, that's not what he wants. Every believer needs to call expectantly on Jesus in a crisis. Now I say that because that's a lot of times where we get serious about preaching. You got a brother or a son or somebody that you know that you love, that's a crisis if they're walking away from the Lord. Let's pray for them. But here's the thing that you want to do. Know that Jesus' response will be certain, and it will also carry with it a clarification of understanding. You see that? You will also understand why he delayed. A lot of times people are ready to do stuff, but the table's not been set yet. You gotta give God. This is what it means to wait on the Lord. Sometimes people, I'm just waiting on the Lord. They have no expectations. They're just saying, sometimes God's going to come along and move. No, the idea is you've asked for something and you're waiting expectantly for it. The answer might be a little different than you thought, but it's always going to be to the glory of God and it's going to be to the edification of God's people. A delayed answer may result in a larger miracle to God's glory. Jesus said, okay, roll away the stone. Wait a minute. Here's Martha, practicality. He probably stinks by now. It's Martha, Martha's being Martha, okay? He probably stinks by now. That's why they buried them usually the same day because it's hot there in that country and start to decompose quickly. And Jesus said, roll away the stone. And then this is what he did. He didn't say, Lazarus, come forth. He could have said it that way. Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth! Because he wants to get people's attention. I'm sure he had Lazarus' attention. See, Lazarus is alive and well. You don't stay in the grave. Okay? His body was in the grave. But at that time, before Jesus had died, when you died, you went to the bosom of Abraham, the place of the righteous. And you were conscious there. You knew what was going on. And you were waiting for that great day when Jesus would come and say, all right, guys, come on, we're going out. We're going home. We're going to heaven. Okay? Well, I'm taking you to glory. Right? Now, as you as a believer, you say, well, Dennis, I'm not a very strong believer. You got a strong Savior, okay? So if you got this much faith in Jesus Christ, when you die, the Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Now that's going to be a lot more real to you if you've been in his presence a little more often before you die. But God keeps his promise. Remember this. You may blow promise after promise. How many people have said, well, I'm going to lose some weight. Yes, sir, I'm going to lose some weight. Because that way I could serve the Lord better. You know, we always make it holy, you know. And then along comes temptation in the form of a blueberry pie or an apple pie. And we eat it. Oh, I blew it again, Lord. I want to tell you something. The promises of God are written in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. He stands behind every promise. Remember this in the Psalms. I love this. You have exalted your word above all your name. Think about the name of God. People are out there cussing and swearing and using God's name. And he said, I have exalted my word above all my name. His name and his word are upheld by his character, who he is. If he promises a dying thief, you're going to be with me in paradise today? Oh, wait a minute. You didn't get baptized. Oh, sorry. No, Jesus takes precedence here. Okay? You're going to be with me in paradise today. Boy, talk about a reversal of fortunes. Well, you know, I asked the Jehovah's Witnesses. They were at my house one day. There were four of them around the table. They don't usually do that, but it was raining, it was cold, and the other guys were sitting out. Do you mind if they come in? I said, yeah, come on in. So they were all sitting around the table, and they're telling me, you know, all this stuff. I said, wait a minute. Let me ask you something. If I wanted to become a good Jehovah's Witness, what would I have to do? Oh, you'd have to study. You'd have to do this. You'd have to do a whole bunch of lies. You see, people can be emphatic about a lie because they're tied to it. You and I should be tied to the truth and be emphatic about it when the occasion calls. Sometimes we got to say it gently. I got that. But sometimes Jesus was very emphatic. And I said, you know what? That's a lot different than the Philippian jailer. Mark touched on that today. You know, Paul and Silas were in the dungeon. And they begin singing praises to God. Try that the next time you're down. Hopefully you're alone if you sing like me. But sing some of those old. And somebody said they sang praises to God at midnight and they brought the house down. The whole jail just tumbled down. And the jailer, see, was very strict. If you lost a prisoner, you're going to die. So he's going to kill himself. And Paul says, wait, we're all here. See, wherever Paul went, he was in command. Those other guys didn't run away because they respected Paul and Silas. You know? And so he said, no, don't do that. And the guy, he's been hearing the singing. He's seen how they reacted to the punishment that they had. He knows perhaps what they were even preaching. And he says, what must I do to be saved? That's what I'm telling Jehovah's Witnesses. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. I am one who believes as soon as you believe, you enter into eternal life right there. You got a lot of experiences ahead. Good ones, okay? Even the bad ones turned out to be good if you learn something from them. All right? But you enter into eternal life as soon as you believe. People keep trying to add stuff to that. Oh, you gotta be baptized. Oh, you gotta join the church. Oh, you gotta do this. You gotta do that. Blah, blah, blah. Listen, Paul stood there with his back to the cross. And he says, it is finished. It is finished. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. He paid it all. Listen, the only currency of heaven that takes away sin is the blood of Jesus because it's sinless. And God says, if I can find one sinless man, I will forgive everyone. And he found this man in his own son. God took on humanity, born of a virgin. And listen, he didn't pay Satan back for sin. He paid back God for sin. So that God could remain righteous and still forgive a sinner like me. Woo! That's good stuff. I don't care what you say, it's good stuff. God bless you. This is what God has for you. Listen, make a commitment. I am going to read through the Gospel of John again. Oh, Dennis, I've read that 14 times. Listen, it's still alive. and you're still half dead. So keep on reading it, okay? And then you'll come fully alive, all right? There's something about hearing Jesus say these things. What a thing. What a great Savior. I think we have one more hymn, do we not? Is that correct? Okay. All right. Let's have a word of prayer. Listen. Bow your heads, okay? If you're not sure today that you're a Christian, would you raise your hand? I'm not saying you're not a Christian. I'm saying you're not sure. Sometimes you feel sure, other times you're not sure. Okay, listen. Bow your head. Close your eyes. We're going to pray in a minute. If you are not sure, meet with Mark and Mary in that first little room there afterwards, and they will give you scripture that will help you. Okay? All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for us. We're going to be praising him throughout eternity. Help us to start praising now. Help us to start learning how to follow. Help us to just want to share this wonderful news with other people, Lord, who don't even want to hear it because they're blind. And we want to see their eyes open. We want to see this church multiply. We want to see the people of God prosper under the shepherding of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So, Father, bless this time, bless this message, bless our ongoing relationships here in this church, Father. And we'll give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.